Welcome to Bread Time. Welcome to Bread Time. Today on Bread Time, we're going to talk about launching. And it's a very special day because my good friend and co-host here, Gabe, has actually launched a product today. So he's in the zone right now, and we're going to talk about it.
It's also special because my other co-host is in the honeymoon of the zone. You launched something a few weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. So, okay, we can talk about this idea of shipping a product. And what does it mean? Is it important? How important is it? And do you really need to congratulate someone for shipping the product?
Yeah, do I need to congratulate you today?
I literally just pressed the button like an hour ago, so I'm very much on the high. So let me just start by saying that it feels fucking great. Working on something for a long amount of time, not being able to talk about it, and really worrying about every little detail and seeing it all come together at the very end just feels awesome. Having said that, I just want to start with a question, which is, why do people congratulate each other for just shipping the product? The product is not necessarily good or bad yet. Nobody knows this. When you launch something, it's still to be judged whether it's something good or bad. So why do we have this environment of like such a congratulatory environment?
I have no idea. It's really weird because when you ship something, it's actually like in different cases, like the work is just beginning. In some cases, it's kind of done, but there's a lot more to do. The shipping is just a milestone, and I think it's more of like a ornamentation or like a decoration rather than it is an actual moment. But it's a good time for people to say like, oh, that's what you did? Good job. Like, fact of the matter is like, yeah, in a lot of cases, it's like the easiest thing you'll do in the whole process.
Yeah, well, so I've worked on some products that have not made the light of day. And just to be on the other side of this the table does feel like an accomplishment because there's plenty of opportunities for a product to die from its conception to its execution. But I think the jury is out, right? Like right now, we just shipped the product and you did ship a product 2 weeks ago. So now is the time where people actually use it and they can start judging whether this is actually a good product or not.
I think the most exciting part about shipping is like you've been living in a bubble the entire product life cycle. There's, of course, research. There's getting many opinions and stuff like that. But it's only when you position something in the real world does it deflate or inflate to the value that it's going to be at more likely. And it's scary and it's terrifying and any reaction could come from it. And you can always be blindsided by like what the reactions are and like the way people use it. But it's usually like, it is exciting because the thing that you've been thinking about becomes real and all of the problems become extremely real after this particular moment.
Yeah, it's that moment of making something out of nothing, right? Like this is becomes real. It materializes into something that it's beyond whatever mock or prototype or internal build you've made. Now is the time where someone that lacks the context that you have, that person can now experience what you made. And that's where the real magic happens. Let me just go back to this. It feels fucking awesome.
Yeah, you look like a little younger today.
Like, not just today, because, I mean, pressing the button is awesome, but the ramp up to today is always accelerating. And I've launched a few products before, and it's always the same. It's always like, you know, a month before we have to launch, we're super stressed out. This is never going to make it. As a designer, you're often shooting for delivering high degree of polish, and that is often left up to the end. So for me, throughout the developing process, you don't see that degree of polish. And it isn't until the end where everything starts coming together and becomes really what you envisioned from the beginning, hopefully. And, you know, when I think back through when I've had the most fun as a designer, it's usually that week or those like 48 hours before launching any product. Like in the case of Automatic, the app I used to work at, you know, we were a small team of four dudes in an office in Market Street. And like, I remember 6 hours before we were scheduled to ship, the site broke down and we saw all four engineers, which, you know, they were all hardware and firmware engineers. I was the only design person, so I designed and coded the site. So obviously it was pretty awful. But anyway, 6 hours before we were about to ship, literally at like 1 a.m., everyone dropped what they were doing and they all started working like like the hardware designer started like on Stack Overflow figuring out JavaScript libraries and shit like that. And like that moment where you really kind of like lock in mm-hmm. and you're all fighting for something in common, such a wonderful moment.
Yeah, similarly, like a couple weeks ago as we were getting near shipping, like all of a sudden that polish level just starts like going up, 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 and you're like, haha, this is what we want now. And it's really satisfying from our perspective because the user experience is forefront of what we're doing. And like, we don't have to deal with all of the issues that are happening in the background always necessarily. But when you start to see that user experience really hit your vision, that's an exciting. And I've had projects too where the user experience doesn't come together at the end. And that's extremely frustrating as well. The cool thing is it becomes at the top of the conversation towards the end, like, hey, we really need this or it's not shippable, et cetera.
One interesting thing is that as a designer, the bulk of the work is done way earlier in the process, right? Like you're defining the product, you're creating prototypes, and hopefully by the time you're getting close to shipping, design has been like solidified. So my work as a designer in the past month has been very much about supporting the team. And, you know, there's been some assets that need to be updated and some edge cases that we may have not thought through. But it's often like, how can I make the team feel motivated, but at the same time dissatisfied so they can keep pushing harder? They work really, really hard to make something that doesn't quite meet the designer bar. So it's a really tricky position to be at in the last couple of weeks where you're like, yeah, good job, but like actually you need to do it a little better. And that is such a tricky thing to master, I think. I mean, I don't pretend I've mastered it, but it's just a different mode that you're in as a designer than what you are like 3 months ago.
It's like the soft skills mode. Sounds like a good episode. We should do that. Okay, now let's talk about the miserable parts of shipping. I think there are a couple miserable parts. One is that feeling of, oh God, what's next? For a long period of time, when you're working on a longer project, you're really into it, you're really focused, you're defining these goals, and towards the end of it, those goals are pretty clear usually if everything's going well, and the thing that you're shipping matches, all the check boxes are marked. After you ship, it's all reset, it's all zeros, and you don't know what's next necessarily, and you go into this period of ambiguity. You're right before that now, right?
Yeah, I mean, traditionally, every product I've shipped always has a backlog of things that didn't make it through. And it is our job to learn how to compromise those things. So there's always enough work to keep people busy for a while, but there is that big question mark. Okay, what is the next big thing? What is like V2? Like, and that right now to me is exciting, but I can see how, like, you know, if they ask me like tomorrow, what's the plan? I'm like, oh fuck, I haven't thought about that, you know?
I think I see people often get overwhelmed at this particular step because, okay, you've shipped the thing that was the minimum viable product and that's out there in the world now. And you're getting reactions to it and you're understanding what needs to be fixed about it and stuff like that. But yeah, you have like 10 other things that didn't make V1. Now you have to reprioritize those with new knowledge and decide what's next. And it's like this period where you're like, there can be different opinions there, which cause like a churning effect for a while. And I think that's tricky to navigate.
Yes, something else that becomes clear to me at least is that no product is ever shipped at its optimal version, right? Like everything is always a compromise, every single case. So that like whenever any other company that we don't have visibility to, they release something, we're like, oh, obviously they should have done this or that. But like being on the other side, like it's evident that that's probably been thought through throughout the process, and there's one fairly good reason why they haven't done that. But that's a truth that you have to kind of confront when you do ship, right? Like now we release this thing and it is X, and some people might be like, yeah, well, why isn't it Y? And you're like, yeah, well, Y is coming, or like, no, it's not Y because X, Z. So that's period of like confrontation between the expectations that an audience might have and what you can actually deliver right now. Can sometimes be frustrating.
Yeah, one thing I think that's tricky is like if you do ship something and it gathers some like sort of media attention, the media responds to all ideal situations. Like I'm trying to think of something like if a game ships that doesn't have like a multiplayer mode, but it's like a really robust single player mode, and they're like, but they should add a multiplayer mode too. Well, yeah, they should have, but I'm sure their development constraints didn't allow that or whatever. And I've become sensitive to both sides of that coin. Like, yeah, you want the best thing possible, but sometimes it just takes more time. Like from the media perspective, it's like, do it all right now, because That's the way I'm viewing it. I'm the consumer. I want it. The actual like development cycle always is far more complex and confusing and full of potholes. And that stuff is hard to explain externally.
Well, now is not only is it a time of ambiguity, but it's a time where like really that can really test your convictions, right? Like usually teams build a product with a certain set hypotheses or assumptions or principles. And now all of those things will be questioned all the time, right? Because now real people are playing with it and they might have different expectations, right? So I've been part of teams before where the people in charge get uncomfortable, insecure about those principles, and they don't have the perspective to see something through, right? Because very rarely is the first version really indicative of like the ultimate version you want to make. And it requires a lot of patience and discipline to see it through. And that's now this is the hard part, right? Like if we get some sort of feedback that is really derailing from what we wanted to do, like how do you make that decision? Like should you listen to the feedback or should you stick to your principles and try to see it through?
So in drug culture, there's a term called chasing the dragon. The first time you do a drug, it's the best time you do it. Every subsequent time you chase that initial feeling, what was the first thing you ever shipped, your dragon experience?
Well, shipping itself, it's kind of like a tech industry term, I think. Well, at least how I conceive it. Like I worked at a few agencies where you ship a website, quote unquote, and that doesn't quite feel like shipping, although you are releasing a product. I worked on like sleepnumber.com website, right? And it meant something to me because at the time I was the only designer working on that. I was a kid just out of college and I was, you know, I worked for a brand that people could recognize. To me, that was a big deal, but that's not actually shipping. Nobody gave a shit of like whether that website was being developed or not, other than like the people at Sleep Number. But the first major tech product that I shipped was Automattic, and that was a pretty intense one because I gave all of myself to that company, like every single corner and pixel I sweated and I had a really robust explanation for, and that felt awesome. That felt like I had actually transferred a limb of my body into the world and people could play with a limb now.
I don't think the dragon analogy works super well for like shipping products, because for example, the first thing I think I probably shipped big time was when I was working at Wright, the auction house in Chicago. I shipped an update to the item page. So as people were looking through the auctions, they were now getting like a more like catalog like experience. And this was like I had put all of myself into it because I believed in it really strongly and had to like fight for it. It was like one of the first like things I really had to fight for. And when it was shipped, I was like, oh, that was cool. And it was like this ongoing experience because I then had to deal with the results of what I had done, like fix it up. And I felt like I got into that process of shipping and maintaining, because I think maintaining is a critical part in like making the shipping more important in a way. Like, because I've also worked on client sites where it's just like I do it and it's gone and it doesn't feel nearly as like intense emotionally. But yeah, like different products I ship, it just depends on like how much I particularly care about the thing that I'm working on. Like, some products feel very personal to me and others feel a little more removed for, but the ones I feel really personal about, they always feel like about the same. Like it's a very intense emotional experience and I feel very personally tied to the outcomes of it.
Have you ever shipped something that people have hated?
Of course.
Okay, give me an example. I have a good one, I think.
Yeah, I mean, there was one thing that I shipped, which is called Privacy Checkup for Facebook. There was the decision to have an illustrated character as part of that, and it was criticized pretty heavily. I mean, even Jimmy Fallon had like the little purple dinosaur or the blue dinosaur making some jokes about it and stuff. I think that built like up a bit of a tough skin for me because I mean, like going into it, I was very aware that that was like an option. I mean, it was like a probability, in fact, but the benefits, we had done plenty of research and user testing and the way people had responded to this illustration. And we knew like that it was a good decision. In the end, it ended up being a really, really good decision for reasons that I hadn't actually thought of ahead of time, because even though there was like all of the headlines for that privacy checkup were like, oh, Facebook's little blue dinosaur, blah, blah, blah. And it actually tied together a narrative at a very high level through the media that people recognized it. And therefore, they were more likely to know what they were getting into when they saw privacy checkup because they had heard about it in some way. So it actually built like a external meta narrative around a little illustration that was in the product. But yeah, I mean, like I read Twitter for a few days afterward, and there was a lot of tweets like that were pretty much making fun of me directly for doing.
In my case, I was really excited to design the logo for this guy that I fanboyed for years. His name is Jeff Cannata. He made a show. I offered to design the logo for him. I was the biggest fanboy and did it for free. And it meant something to me because it was, you know, I was working with someone that I admired for a long time. And I designed this logo, and we had kind of a concept, him and I, that made sense to us. And he was really, really jazzed about it. But he made a big deal to his audience that, okay, here comes a logo reveal, and then showed it. And everyone hated it. Like everyone was like, what that? And it looked like another logo. And then I go, what about this? And it's so like, it was a big flop, at least to his audience. And he still loves it. And he made logos kind of a 3D object. And he actually printed it into a 3D object. He has it in his house. And so that was a kind of like a nice connection that I have with him. But his audience did not like it. So that was kind of a come to Jesus moment where like, yeah, not everything you do, we're gonna love.
But luckily they're gonna love what you ship today. So yeah, that's it. That's shipping is a complex set of emotions. It is both time to celebrate, but also time not to celebrate, because it's time to keep working usually. Yeah, what do you think about shipping? What's been some stuff you've shipped that's gone well, what's not gone well? You should tell us. We have a Slack channel. You can DM us on Twitter. Our Twitter is breadtimefm. DM us your email address and we'll add you to the Slack, and we talk about this type of stuff there. We also have a website, breadtime.fm, and thank you very much for listening to this episode of Bread Time.
Ship more.